This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Hello, Rutherford County. Glad to be back home. It's always good to be back in the safe confines of our wonderful place that we live. It's the Garden of Eden. I want to let you know that the first half of this show is brought to you by At Home Care, and that's at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And what they do at At Home Care, and Melissa Warren is the owner, and she felt like that there was a lot of services that needed to be offered here in the community, and thank goodness she did, because there's a lot of people that are at home that they want to be able to stay home and have a quality life. And what she does is she provides errands, laundry, personal needs, light housekeeping, transportation to appointments, grocery shopping, meal preparation, medication reminders, and many, many other things. And we're talking about 24/7 here. So if you feel like that you have a special need for her services, give her a call at 713-4639 or check out their website, and that's www.athomecaretennessee.com. And you know, Brian, being in Florida was such a great treat. We got to go out on – well, I guess I shouldn't say this, because one of my mates in crime is with me today, mm-hmm. Mr. Dan Whittle. And Dan has a very personal milestone that he has completed today. Today is his 67th birthday.
Is that right?
Yes, it is. And I think that it requires some music from the staff here.
Well, how about from a special guest?
Okay, a special guest would be fine.
All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
Mr. Dan Whittle.
Happy birthday to you.
And that is Miss Eminem, and a lot of people think that that's probably Melissa McCullough, but it's actually Miss Marilyn Monroe singing directly to Dan Whittle.
Just
and
for
I
you.
I am extremely impressed, Dan.
Well, as usual, you guys underwhelm me, and but it's always a pleasure to work with a radio star such as yourself, Mr. Jones. It's a,
You better look at Brian Barrett when you're talking about radio stars. You're looking at the wrong guy.
I feel 67 today, and I look 76. But anyway, Truman told me right before we got on the air that I look so old, it looks like my face is worn out five bodies. Wasn't that nice of Truman?
You know, it's great to recycle that old joke. I mean,
how does he
really
feel?
Great at it. When they talk about recycling, I don't believe that's what they're talking about, Danielle.
Boy, I tell you what, every birthday is a celebration for me, and I don't mind being – I thank God for being 67 years old.
Yeah, the good Lord has really blessed you. He's come down and held you up, and it's been a wonderful journey, and you've made a lot of great friends. And me, I consider you one of them. One of my best friends, and we had such a great time together down in Florida.
We're gator hunters.
Yes, we are. We're the radio gator hunters,
that's
I guess
exactly
you can say.
That's exactly right, and we want to say a special salute today to a very special friend of ours, to this whole community. Jim Demas had surgery this
yes.
morning on his shoulder. It went well. He's home. He's recuperating, and he wanted us to say hey to the listeners today, and wanted for us to keep him in our prayers.
He's a very important part of the community. He's one of the nicest fellas, and I tell you what, you and I have had the honor of being with him on a number of occasions, and he just shows. There's some people that when you just walk up, you say, "Man, that guy's got some class."
He's got some class, and he's smarter than he looks. Yeah.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah.
He's extremely bright. He was on the radio show, and people were really impressed.
And that he's a good man. He's a good friend, and I count Jim as one of my best. A big blessing to have a friend like Jim Demas.
Well, you know, when we went out on the boat ride, which was one of those...
Airboat.
Airboats, yes. Well, it was so funny. They had 16 seats on an airboat. Everybody that sat in that boat was from Rutherford County.
You don't do anything in Florida that you won't do here in Rutherford County.
That's exactly right.
I tell you what, and even the people we did not know, well, they were for MTSU.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody was from
everybody from Rutherford County. And I looked at the license plates in the condominium area where we stayed, and I saw about six cars with Cannon County and Rutherford County, Wilson County license plates. And so I guess when school starts, a few people take off to Panama City.
Well, it's such a great place to go, and we had such a good time down there. And of course, when you go on a trip like that, the one thing that really means as much to you as anything is meeting friends down there and having somebody to enjoy
it
with.
We met Kim and Jeff Mullins, right. And they were the ones that set us up for the airboat ride.
And to be perfectly honest with you, I was kind of a little anxious about that because I've never been on one.
Well, me too. And then when they mentioned the alligators, and I said, well, I'm an amateur photographer. I'll never get another chance for this. And so I said, I'm going to do it.
Great pictures, and I hope everybody out there, I've got the picture in front of the mic, and I hope you can see it well. I mean,
is it in focus?
It's in focus. Dan is actually, I would consider him a professional when it comes to being a photographer, because it's just perfect. It really is. In fact, I think you should have gone into photography instead of writing years ago.
And I enjoy photography. I love nature photography, and we're going to have a show, I'm advised, of my nature photography, mostly birds, at the Art Center in Cannon County next spring, which flatters me to no end.
Oh, it's going to be in Cannon County?
Woodbury, yeah.
Huh. You couldn't get a place here in Rutherford County?
I've already had a show here, thank you very much.
Oh, did you? Where was it?
Well, you weren't invited.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to know where it was.
City Hall, the Rotunda.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And a mere 102 pictures. Doing a show is no small thing. You've got to get your pictures right, framed, and, you know.
Got to have plenty of security, make sure nobody steals them.
And
they're very valuable.
But we're going to donate, if one happens to sell at that show in Woodbury, we'll donate that to the Art Center. It's a very good art center over there.
Now, when people take their pocketbooks with them and their billfolds, what are they looking at when they're going to buy one of yours? Do you have kind of do you have an auction, or how do they do that?
Anywhere from $30 to $250
a piece
per picture. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Cash. We prefer cash. Yeah.
Maybe I should show these pictures again.
But I had to use, when I took your picture, I had to use the wide angle lens. So the photographers out there in our listening audience, they'll understand why I had to have the wide-angle lens when I took your particular picture.
Now, since we're sinking, let's go to something else. One thing that you and I have in common is that we have known a lot of great people.
Awesome people.
In our lifetime.
Personally.
We have, and we're not just talking about just big-name people that everybody knows throughout the country. We, of course, there are those. But the people that have really had their feet on the ground and were out there for a particular purpose to make the community or wherever a better place.
When I came to Tennessee in 72 to work for the Nashville Banner, I helped put the Nashville Banner out of business, of course. But anyway...
there's first time, two of you have to do that.
I was a very lonesome young country boy.
Yeah.
And Nashville was a big city to me.
Yeah.
And I made friends at Bellbuckle, Tennessee, that I will take to my grave, named Jane and Clyde Brothers. They literally welcomed me into their family. I had a key to their home. And anytime I wasn't on duty at the Banner, I was in Bellbuckle at their home and shared their kids growing up. And, but they made me feel part of a family here and gave me a great deal of pleasure. These are the real people of Middle Tennessee that I love.
Yeah, and they told me what a special person that you were and that they felt obligated, even though you almost ate them out of house and home.
I looked pitiful a lot.
But you really did.
And first time I met them, I walked into the back of the church, and Clyde was the superintendent of Sunday school and was at the front of the church.
Now, is that a Baptist church?
That's the, yeah, it's the oldest Baptist church in Bedford County. Goes back to the 1700s, literally.
Oh, my goodness.
And the Fairfield Baptist Church. And when I walked into the church, because nobody knew who I was or anything, and they just stopped church, and everybody came back. I could have crawled under the pew, you know, in embarrassment. Everybody come back, shook my hand and everything. And then
that's pretty neat.
And as it turned out, see, the Lord was at work because it became part of my food ministry. They thought I was there because it was dinner on the grounds that day. But it turned out great. But
I think you was taking care of dinner over at his house is what you were doing. I think I'm kind of used to that myself. I think I bought your lunch for about 4 years before you...
As I say, it's part of my food ministry.
Yeah. Well, bless your heart. Well, now, what other people, when you came here, really made a difference in your attitude?
Well, I've touched on Jim and Doris Demas. I've touched on Jim Demas. You know, we did Whittlemania together
right.
at the Demas Restaurant and Toots Restaurant with Wade Hayes. We did that for, I believe, 15 years, and we built 17 Habitat houses together. And
while we're talking, I want to say hello to Donna Reed out there today. Just hope
Hi,
she's
Donna,
listening.
Baby. How you doing?
Hope she's listening.
Yeah. And... anyway, we built 17 Habitat houses together, which just shows you the quality of this community. It's a very giving, caring community. Some of the more famous people that I've known, I guess Paul Harvey, the radio commentator.
Yeah, you've mentioned him before.
I guess he's probably the smartest individual I've ever met one-on-one.
Well, tell us the rest of the story.
Page two.
Yes.
He, after we got through with our interviews, and he gave a little country boy reporter more than an hour in an interview, and then when I got through, he asked, said, would you like a Coca-Cola? You know, I was like 17 years old, and he was a God figure to me, a celebrity. And Archie Moore was another man that I was privileged to interview.
Before we leave Paul, though, tell me how he was just away from everything, and just the two of you talking.
What you heard on the air was pretty well him.
Oh.
He was like Jerry Clower.
Yeah.
What you heard was the real deal. He was a very genuine man, very down-to-earth man.
Yeah.
He's like Robert Duvall, the actor. Robert Duvall, he could sit here on this radio program, or he could sit down on the park bench with us and talk for an hour. Well, Paul Harvey was that way, too. Ark Linkletter was that way.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet him just a few years ago, and Art was 96 when he was here at Middle Tennessee Christian School.
Did the kids say the darnest things that day?
I don't know, but I felt like a child to him. But he, you know, these type of successful people, you're really intelligent people that rise to this level of celebrity. The truly intelligent ones, the more humble they are with it, and they stay themselves. They don't become celebrities in their own mind. And
is that why you had such a draw to the Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Now Zsa Zsa Gabor, she whipped me. And by the way, your sheriff's department allowed her to put a whipping on me.
Yeah, we thought it was well deserved.
For a 76-year-old big framed woman and everything, she could move like a fullback. I'd forgot about Zsa Zsa, but
I didn't.
I noticed that. But for those of you that don't know that story, it's while I was at the Daily News Journal, and Zsa Zsa had failed to pay a beautician bill.
Right.
And when she came back to Rutherford County after appearing at the celebration down in Shelbyville at the Walking Horse Show, there were warrants.
Mm-hmm.
And someone at the sheriff's department tipped me off that they were going to go serve papers on Zsa Zsa Gabor out at Garden Plaza Hotel.
I can't imagine them doing that.
Well, everything was going pretty smooth until she noticed this little funny-looking guy and holding a camera in the background over there. She said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm nobody. Don't pay me no attention." And she body slammed me up against the wall, but I survived it.
That's probably one of the most fun things that's ever happened since I was at the sheriff's office. Now, you're about to say Archie Moore.
Archie Moore.
Now, great boxer.
An icon boxer.
He was a middleweight and went into heavyweights.
He held his own pretty well as a heavyweight, which is remarkable.
Except against Rocky.
Couldn't handle Marciana.
No.
But here's another man that pulled himself up by the bootstraps. One of my best friends back in Missouri was in reform school with Archie Moore as a boy out of St. Louis.
I'm not surprised at that.
Yeah. But when I interviewed Archie, of course, he was already a champion boxer, and it was in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. And Archie had no education, but he's one of the most intelligent men I've ever been around in my life. And so,
You'll see that a lot. People who are not formally educated are extremely bright. I mean, they utilize their
quick
knowledge for other
bright,
things.
He couldn't spell very good, but he was a great writer.
I know somebody like that.
And I resemble that. Yeah. He was easy to interview.
Did he kind of feel intimidating toward you? You know, you're talking about you're
I was
talking
no
about
threat
a,
to
a,
him.
One tough guy.
No, he is a tough guy. And he's a very humble man, very articulate man, actually.
And you were since we're into sports stars, you told me at one time that there was one baseball player. And of course, you're a Cardinal fan. We're not talking about Stan Musial. I mean, we're actually talking about a Brooklyn Dodger.
We're probably talking about the most intense man that I ever interviewed, Jackie Robinson. Brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, just no telling what the man's IQ was. Of course, he was a gifted baseball player. Of course, he was the first black man to break the major leagues, 1948, with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And he was someone that he wasn't that easy to interview. He was so rapid fire that, he was courteous.
Now,
to interview.
We're all over the place with all these big name stars, but tell me somebody in the newspaper business, in the print business, journalist, who were the people that you were trying to set your sights on to try to emulate? When you first started writing?
Jack Herman was a sports writer at the St. Louis Globe Democrat, like most afternoon newspapers. It's gone defunct now. But Jack Herman was who I emulated when I started out in sports writing in Missouri. Jack had a very down-to-earth, easy-flowing style, and I mimicked that. That's how I, probably the most formal writing training I ever had. I started out with no college or anything. But he was very influential. My first hero in the office was a man named Bob York. Bob was in his 80s, and this was in the 1960s. He was so old that he had literally covered the Indian Wars.
Wow.
And had an arrow knocked the hat off of his head. And he knew George Custer. And Armstrong Custer. The man was just remarkable, and he typed with two fingers in a blur, and he was a remarkable man. The toughest editor I ever had was Paul Bumbarger. This was at the Daily Standard newspaper in Sankston, Missouri, and he was a tough wordsmith. He'd tear my copy all to pieces and improve it. I didn't mind a tough editor if they improved my copy. Of course, it makes me look good when the better my copy is. And so we got along good. He was the one that forecast that, he's the one that hired me straight off the street as a untrained. I was hired. I went into the newspaper office as applying for the janitor's job. I think I've told this on the air. And they ended up hiring me as a sports writer, and just something that they said they saw.
Yeah, as a sports writer, you made a great janitor. You really did.
And when they asked me, when I thought I was interviewing for the janitor's job, when they asked me, did I know a little typing, I said, man, this must be a classy janitor's job to have know a little typing. But anyway, that's how I are become a writer now.
How would you classify newspapers today as you have known it, known the business over the past?
We haven't adapted. I thought 30 years ago that the computers and internet thing was going to change us. I changed my reporting style back then to a more positive flavor and doing stories that was not already on the air, on television, on radio. I thought we had to go into more entertainment, in-depth feature stories, in-depth investigative reporting, that the airwaves
don't
have time.
You don't.
And we missed the boat when we did not adapt. And so the bigger newspapers, a lot of them have gone out. I think the newspapers in towns the size of Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Shelbyville, Woodbury, Crossville, McMinnville, these newspapers are going to be fine because they fulfill their niche. They're doing what they're
now,
supposed to do.
Are we talking about local papers or national or
your
those
locally
types?
Owned newspapers is, I think, is best for your community.
Yeah.
They
know the heartbeat of it a whole lot better.
Yeah. And I have been very blessed. Of course, newspapers paid me to go around the world two or three times. I mean, it's a pretty interesting life. I've met some dynamic people.
And one of the people that you have met, we had lunch with today, Mr. Ron Fryer, who he epitomizes to me what it means to be a person who is in control of a paper and knows which way it needs to go and who he needs to have in there.
He's a true community journalist.
Right.
I think
that's great for a publisher or whatever.
It is. A lot of publishers, the old-style publishers, they didn't get out of their offices. Mm-hmm. They thought the community owed them, and they would come to them and kowtow to them, which they did for a number of years because they didn't have any alternative. A brother in this day and age with so many news outlets now, magazines, TV, radio, you got to go out there and hustle now to stay in business.
You almost have to be able to, from what I've read, to be able to specialize in certain things. And the thing about yours is that you always reached in to the heart of the community and found the things that were really interesting, the people that were interesting, and you were able to enlighten the people there, which I think that's very important. And I have to give you a lot of credit, Dan, because you were one of the most liked persons, journalists, in the newspaper business, and I think it was because you were able to enlighten so many people about what was going on in the community and the people. I mean, you did a lot of history, you did a lot of research, and you talked to a lot of people, and I think that's what made your column so great.
Well, I found out something. This was in Murfreesboro when I first came here. I did a story one week on the town mayor, which was Joe B. Jackson, a fine
great man.
A great leader, a great community leader. I did the next week, I did a story on the little lady window washer that went around washing the business windows in the community. I got the most readership with the little lady window washer. Well, that told me something, and so I always followed that. I like to do stories on real people doing real things to get through this sometimes tough old world.
Right.
And I think readers, they identify with that.
Did you ever...
Bud Mitchell is an example.
Oh, Bud Mitchell is at the very top.
A winner.
Yeah.
He's one of these remarkable people that I've got listed here today. He impacts a community. You never hear about it.
No. But he doesn't want anybody to know.
But that's the type of people you and I have been privileged to associate with down through the years.
Yeah, thank goodness I've known him just about my whole life. And Kay, his wife's just like him. I mean, they do everything they can for the community. One person I was going to ask you, did you ever interview, was Gladys DeMint. Did you ever get an interview with her?
No, she was a little ahead of my time.
Okay.
She was fading as I came online. I knew who she was, but I never got to her.
Almost everybody who worked on the square at one time knew Gladys DeMint. I mean, she was probably more known than anybody that worked on the square. And she was one of those ladies that could predict elections, and she had more insight than anybody else. But she was an extremely unique lady, and that would have been a great article for you to have been.
And another individual I missed, he was before my time, was Mr. Drake that peddled watermelons on the square from the back of his truck. And people could almost set their clocks by him coming on the square. And one day, Bubba Woodfin and some of his cronies Mr. Drake would ring that bell.
Mm-hmm.
And one day while he was in the bank peddling his watermelons, they took the bell off the truck.
Oh, my
goodness.
Well,
he liked to have a hemorrhage and everything, but they finally threatened to call the law and everything. But while he wasn't looking, the police helped Bubba get the bell back on the truck before there was any problems. Just some mischief, but...
Did you say it was Bubba that did it?
Bubba Woodfin. Guilty as charged.
I can't imagine that. I have never known him to be a trickster or anything like that.
No, he wouldn't pull a trick.
Yeah. I want to let you know that the last half of this part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive. And Stan McNabb provides quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. They have a large selection that ensures that you can have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. A vehicle you buy from Stan McNabb Chevrolet, Cadillac Buick GMC, and Stan McNabb Jeep Dodge Chrysler in Tullahoma, and Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg, and a vehicle you buy from another dealership. They look alike, cost approximately the same, but the truth is, they are different. Only the new or pre-owned vehicles from Stan McNabb has oil changes and tires for life at no additional charge.
You've got some good advertisers. Mm-hmm.
Did you get a sad face after your emissions test?
Come by Todd's Complete Auto Care and we'll get your car to pass and put a smile on your face.
This is Amy at Todd's Complete Auto Care Center. We'll even take it through emissions for you.
Todd's Complete Auto Care on Southeast Broad across from the Discovery Center.
Come see me.
If you want to get some barbecue, I tell you how to do it. Head for the Slick Pig and you're into it. Just walk through the door at 1920 East Main and your nose will send a message right to your brain.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock, $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw at Slick Pig Barbecue.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
It's Monday, and the Red Cross is having a blood drive all through the day today until 6 o'clock tonight. That's over at the new Red Cross office, 501 Memorial Boulevard, the former Chamber of Commerce building. They also have apheresis blood donations from 10 this morning until 5:45 this afternoon. Once again, that community blood drive from 10 this morning until 6 tonight at the new Red Cross, 501 Memorial Boulevard, the former Chamber of Commerce location. Listen closely, the new Linebaugh Book Group, Women for Peace and Justice, meets at 10 o'clock Wednesday morning at the Linebaugh Library. No reservations are required, and the goal is to create a relaxed atmosphere and dialogue. Pidge Cash, Selena Kahn, and Margaret Odabautian will begin as facilitators of the group. If you have questions, call 893-4131. Again, the Women for Peace and Justice Reading Group gets underway 10 o'clock Wednesday morning at the Linebaugh Library. And the Chamber of Commerce Power Lunch, 11:30 Wednesday morning at the Doubletree by Hilton Hotel. That's on the Old Fort Parkway. The Nashville Predators Executive Vice President and Chief Sales and Marketing Officer, Chris Parker, is the guest speaker. And art portraits by Jeff Bertrand are on display at the Murfreesboro City Hall Rotunda now through September the 9th. It's all free during City Hall hours. WGNS is happy to put your Good Neighbor events on the radio and internet for free. Please get them to us 2 weeks before they occur. Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Sunny to partly cloudy this afternoon, high in the upper 80s. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low near 65. Sunny on Tuesday, high of 91. Tuesday night, low near 66. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 90.
Hi, this is Mike from Maple Street Grill. Debbie and I wanted to invite you down to try some of the exciting new menu items. Citrus halibut, Southwest mahi, or our new bone-in ribeye by guest request. Debbie and I would like to invite you down to the Maple Street Grill located on the west side of historic downtown Murfreesboro.
It's the Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
Today's guest, the birthday boy, Dan Whittle.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips, now how about you?
You are listening to John Blankenship and Friends. And John Blankenship is going to be on our show Wednesday, Brian. And I think he's going to bring his guitar and maybe some other items with him.
Is that right?
Yeah. Actually, we got a great...
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, maybe?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you would like to hear them in person, you can just take a ride out John Bragg Highway, about 10 miles, and then you'll see a sign on your left says the Readable Mill. It's at 518 Murfreesboro Road, 5418 Murfreesboro Road, Readable, Tennessee, and you can reach them at 563-MILL or 6455, or on the internet, www.readablemill.com. And let me tell you something. You can go out and have one of the best breakfasts and have one of the nicest times that you've ever had in your life by going out at that 200-year-old Readable Mill that Tom Brady refurbished and just absolutely go back in time and have a wonderful time. Only it's on Saturday now. It's on Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you and I have been out there a number of times, haven't we, Dan?
That's part of my food ministry. You talk about stepping back in time. A lot of people, a lot of the newcomers here didn't realize that Readyville actually had electricity before Murfreesboro did.
They did, but I lived in Readyville when I was a young boy, and I did not have electricity.
Well, I noticed that they don't have any historical markers out there, the fact that you lived out there either.
I think that if there were any out there, they would have gotten rid of them by now. And we'd like to know, I mean, Dan is starting out a great week for us. After today, on Tuesday, Greg Tucker will be here. John Blankenship, you just got through hearing him sing. On Thursday, probably the best show, the Atlanta Braves will be on Thursday. And then Friday we have Jeff Jordan. So this is going to be a great week, and we're starting off at the very top with Dan.
John Blankenship is probably one of the most gifted men in Rutherford County. He's a great attorney, a gifted musician.
Mm-hmm, he is.
A superb actor.
I didn't know about the acting.
Yeah, and the production's over at the Art Center of Cannon County. John's a mainstay there.
You know, I wished I could have seen him because he's one of the nicest people to be around. And every time I go to the Readable Mill, I always make a habit of asking for a couple of songs that are my favorites. And I'll sit there and listen to them and have conversation with the band. Ken and Sarah and Billy and Avent are there with John. And it's just a wonderful time to go and just relax and have a good time. And I noticed there were a lot of birthday people that were there this last Saturday, and they filled up probably half the tables. It's such a treat.
The first time I met John Blankenship, he was up to his elbows in flour. He was cooking breakfast for the room in the inn, homeless.
Oh, wow.
Boys and girls and
that's
men and
one.
Women.
That's one thing that you have done, Dan, that have really made you outstanding from the rest of the people that you see in the media and journalism or whatever. You really go out and actively get involved in and I shouldn't say charity work, but I don't know how else to phrase it. But you get involved in a lot of things that actually help the people in need.
Well, I guess I'm old-fashioned. I think community journalism, the radio station here, WGNS, they're great community
activists.
Right,
they really are.
I think journalism, particularly community journalists, ought to be builders in the community when they can. It's not all good news out there. I mean, the reality is you go to prison for robbing a bank or dealing in drugs.
Right.
But there's a lot of good news out there, too. And it was it became sort of, I'm not a super religious person. I'm not a deacon in the church. I'm certainly no Bible scholar. But to love God is to love his people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I got that through my thick skull, my career took off. My life took off. And so helping people, you can do that on the front page of a newspaper. You can do that through a radio program.
I know it's hard to answer this, but of all the types of works that you've had to help the people, which one stands out the most in your mind?
I would say the right now we're involved with the Fisher House, mm-hmm. and that's a house like the Ronald McDonald House.
Oh, that's a great, great program.
It's a great cause. I have always had a burden for military veterans and their families.
Mm-hmm.
As a nation, we all hoopla and wave the flags when they go to war and everything, mm-hmm. but we're not there for them when they get back.
No.
And I think the Fisher House is a step in the right direction. So that's the most important mission that I'm on right now with my buddy Hooper Pinuel. And we're going around raising money. We've helped raise a few dollars for the Fisher House. It's going to be built like a Ronald McDonald House that served 20 families at one time. And it's on the historic Alvin C. York, a VA medical center here in Murfreesboro. And it will help be another flag that will make Murfreesboro nationally known in another direction.
You know, a lot of times the families go unnoticed. I mean, the veterans, of course, a lot of times even they go unnoticed. But it's one of those situations that when you have a loved one that's overseas and in combat and out there putting their life on the line for the freedom of all the rest of us that are over here benefiting from it, a lot of times the families who are at home that are dying a little bit every day worrying about their loved one but proud of them at the same time, they go through the gamut of emotions.
They can't get adequate medical care sometimes for financial reasons. The bureaucrats in Washington almost closed the York VA Medical Center back in the 1990s. This is to show you how unresponsive Washington has become. They were having over 150,000 patients a year at the York VA Medical Center at that point in time and wanting to close it. Well, we helped the newspaper, Daily News Journal and WGNS, and we helped generate more than 250,000 signatures on petitions, mainly to force those bureaucrats up in Washington not to close the York VA Medical Center. And,
you know, that's one of the reasons that I didn't have any hesitation at all when I talked to Bart Walker about doing this show some time ago, because I know his standards, I know his integrity, I know the things that he fights for in the community, and it's not just a business. Of course, radio is a business, and just like all other media, but there's something that still has that closeness to the people that I've always admired, and I can tell you, we utilized the WGNS in my work before I came to work over here a lot of times to alert the people in Rutherford County about some of the things that they needed to know, and it's just one of those things. You're talking about your ministry. I think that you and you're a lot like Bart in the way that you want to reach out to people, and it really means a lot to you.
You won't remember this, but it was a veteran that formed, was the embryo that formed mine and your friendship back in 1989. That's when I first met you.
Mm-hmm.
There was a veteran that was having mental problems, holed up in a house with guns.
Oh, yeah.
And it was late at night, and it was the first time I met you. I was covering crime at that particular time for the Daily News Journal. And instead of rushing the house like some of the younger police officers or law enforcement officers wanted to do, you said, no, we'll take our time, we'll talk through this, we'll use some common sense and be patient. 2 hours later, the man walked out of the house and y'all took care of business with no gunfire. That impressed me.
Well, you know, in this day and time, there's too much of a rush to judgment on people in all types of situations. And it seems like that people just really don't have the time to waste on each particular situation. And that's something that we need to be able to keep in this community.
When I go into schools, when I'm blessed to go into schools to speak and at the university, I pound listening as a gift equal to writing in journalism. Well, I think that applies to life in itself. If you're a listener, listening means that you think the person that's sitting next to you, you make them feel important if you listen to what they're saying. Everybody needs to feel important. Everybody is important. And that's how I tried to approach newspaper.
And you're very unique in that your writing skills were born in the streets. They were out there as you first started writing. You were learning OJT, you might say, strictly from the neighborhoods and all the other places that you went to. And I think that's one of the reasons you were able to hone your skills so well toward what the people actually want to read and hear. And of course, another thing is they trust you. Now, I don't know why, but they do.
Well, the Lord has given me great favor in this community, or any community that I've been blessed to live with. There's an old farmer out at Porterfield when I lived out in that area when I first moved out here, a little farm shanty. And the old farmer pulled up to me. I was out in the pasture looking over some cattle and some donkeys, and he pulled up and walked out in the field beside me, introduced himself, and he said, Mr. Twiddle, he said, what kind of neighbors did you have back in Missouri? And I said, well, I had some of the best neighbors in the world. Mm-hmm. He got in his truck. And I said, well, sir, how come that's all you wanted to know about my neighbors back in Missouri? He said, Sonny, if you had good neighbors back in Missouri, that meant you were a good neighbor.
Yeah.
Well, WGNS practices the good neighbor journalism.
That's good down-home common sense, and it's something that I cherish.
Yeah.
I mean, and your older people, and sometimes I think that we have a tendency not to listen to them like we used to when I was growing up. And if you want to get a real true picture of history and how things used to be and how things ought to be, they're the people to talk to. I mean, that's one of the reasons this country was so great is over the years, all of those stories went from generation to generation. And I think that, and I'm so glad that you continue to do a lot of that.
Well, a young friend of mine is having some emotional problems, a teenager. Mm-hmm. And I've suggested, I said, get involved in a ministry. If you don't want to call it a ministry, something personal. I said, go to the nursing home. All you have to do is listen.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you will be a star there in a week's time. They'll treat you so well if you'll just sit and listen. And because as a society, we're forgetting these people and they're treasures of information.
Well, of course, everything's in print now, what happened in the past. And of course, I don't think anybody does a better job than Greg Tucker. I mean, he is the hardest working researcher. And he is so able to bring that to print. And, of course, he's written a lot of books. But having him on the show has been a real treasure for us because he can paint a picture like all the old storytellers used to do in the past.
I didn't know about Tuckertown. That was just, I didn't know about the KKK opposing building the Catholic Church here back in the 1920s. That's gold nugget history there. Mm-hmm. That's real stuff. But he must have a photographic mind. He really does.
But I've told him before. He wrote one of the books. He wanted me to put a little byline in there. And I said basically that he should have been a detective because he has the ability to mass all that information and put it in its proper perspective. And he doesn't skew it at all. I mean, he just puts history down as what history is supposed to be, and he whether it's politically correct or incorrect or whatever, it doesn't matter because it's still history. And I think that that's one thing that we should really buy it on. And that's one of the things that I have been so focused on since I've been on this show is to be able to talk to all those people that are able to bring those things to light.
Well, Tennessee has done very well. In fact, I think I'll give Tennessee credit here. We have done pretty well in preserving the history here, and it's a rich history. And if you'll notice about Mr. Tucker, is he's out there with the people, mm-hmm. just like a paid journalist. Mm-hmm. You go out there, he's there, and he's out mingling with the people, and that's what you got to do.
And, of course, I think he's president of the Rutherford County Historical Society here. I believe that's correct. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that they have as members there are like him. They want to be able to research the community that they love and see how it got to be the way it is now.
John Hood is another icon. Mm-hmm. He is a walking history book.
Oh, he is. Yeah. And never forgets anything.
And his son, Gary.
Yes.
He has risen to the very elite in broadcast productions. Mm-hmm. He knows presidents. He's a stage manager. He knows Bill Clinton. He's done the Academy Awards, the Emmys, both political parties and their conventions. He's a world-traveled man. This community, through MTSU, mm-hmm. through Old Seward Air Force Base, mm-hmm. they brought a lot of talent here. And so I think that's one of the reasons that this community is so blessed.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. You hardly ever talk about your hometown now, Smyrna. And that's, I think, something that we really need to get into, because one of the questions I want to ask you is, why did you pick Smyrna for your home? And that's a big decision.
Pat.
Oh, okay.
And I've always loved history. Mm-hmm. Seward Air Base, Steve Fitchie was a great friend of mine. And he and Ann, I miss them greatly.
I miss them too.
And Steve was a walking history book. Mm-hmm. And I've studied Seward Air Base and its history. The world deployment techniques that's used today in Afghanistan and Iraq, they were developed at Seward Air Base, those techniques. And talk about deployment of troops, military equipment, war machines. The techniques were developed and refined at Seward Air Base back in the 1940s and 1950s.
I don't think anybody had a handle on the air industry any more than Steve Fitchie. As you know, he was at the airport in Nashville, and then was over the airport here, and his knowledge was just
unbelievable. Well, ironically, he was the last commandant of Old Seward Air Base before it closed, I believe, in 1972. I believe that was when it closed. He was the first Smyrna Airport director mm-hmm. when Rutherford County and Smyrna made the political move and got the airport back in local jurisdiction. It was a big mistake for Rutherford County and Smyrna, mm-hmm. and the Ridley boys would tell you that, and Joby Jackson admitted to that. They should never let Smyrna Airport get under the jurisdiction of Nashville.
No. And all the people were in place that could take care of that. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dan Whittle.
Hi, I'm Don Patterson, an internal medicine physician with Middle Tennessee Medical Group, a new multi-specialty office dedicated to the health and well-being of you and your family. Our physicians provide expertise in family and internal medicine, as well as other specialties. Middle Tennessee Medical Group offers two locations in Murfreesboro for your convenience. To make an appointment with a Middle Tennessee Medical Group physician, call 396-6800 or visit middletnmedicalgroup.com.
Toots, good food and fun.
Hi, this is Wade Hayes of Toots Good Food and Fun Restaurant, and I wanted to remind you, please come in and enjoy one of our delicious lunch specials Monday through Friday. We have a $3.99 lunch special every day, just like we have for over 25 years. You can find the phone number of any of our locations on our website at toots.com.
Good food and fun.
Toots Good Food and Fun Restaurants, now on South Church Street, Broad Street at Medical Center Parkway, and Sam Ridley Parkway in Smyrna.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original equipment. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
Welcome back with Dan Whittle. And since we're in the Smyrna territory, you can't talk about Smyrna without talking about Sam and Knox Ridley.
Sam Ridley is one of the brightest men I've ever met. He had a vision, and when the air base, now he told me, he said, I was lying through my teeth, or thought I was. Yeah. He said, everybody thought when Seward left Smyrna, it was going to be a ghost town.
Yeah, no, they thought that, yeah.
And he said, and I thought it too, but he said, I wouldn't profess that in public. And as it's turned out, the vision to get Nissan, the Japanese, one of the brightest things in returning Smyrna Airport to Smyrna and Rutherford County jurisdiction, when the airport authority in Nashville asked Sam Ridley, who was mayor at that time, said, well, what portion of Smyrna Airport do you want returned? And he said, a hog share. And these were bright men. Joe B. Jackson, the judge, the county judge, and the mayor before Mr. Jackson,
Judge Threet the judge at that time?
Judge Threet and the judge's father that was here, circuit judge.
And Ben Hall McFarland.
Mr. McFarland. These were visionary leaders.
Yes.
And they literally put this community on the map of progress.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, they had all the tools, all the insight that was needed to make that place successful, and it has proven correctly, because another thing is, a lot of people don't realize it, how close each one of the entities here in Rutherford County worked together on that. They hammered it out and made sure that it was a successful program that was not purely aimed at any one entity.
You will notice, Truman, of all the dynamic people, and we've talked about national and international figures here today, all the dynamic people that we've talked about today did not have big egos.
No.
They weren't conceited.
No.
They were public servants in their ways, although highly successful.
You find someone who is self-consumed in their own desires and wants, or making themselves up higher than anyone else, those people in the end will always seem to just fail. I mean, it's just almost unnatural.
Hilda Stewart is one of the most recognized names in the banking industry here. That's Marty Stewart's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a family. She and John Stewart are two of mine and Pat's best friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's not an arrogant, conceited bone in these people's. Marty's an international star. Well, he's their son, and that's just the way it is. But Hilda Stewart touched thousands of lives as a bright banker here that made everybody feel important.
You know, a lot of people don't realize it, but you're that way too. I mean, you're not one of these people that wants to call attention to yourself. And since you're that way, what I would do is I'd take my name off of the byline that you have in the paper and the picture off there too.
You think the picture really detracts, right?
I think the picture does. why don't you just put anonymous there? You know, that would be pretty neat. You never see anybody do that anymore.
We had a Cub reporter that was wanting to make an impression one time at the newspaper and called in all excited and said, Mr. Whittle, I've just had a unanimous phone call. And I think she meant anonymous.
Well, bless her heart. did you ever have, did you have many people, journalists, come in and actually train under you since you've been in the newspaper business? Because you're so unique, I can see the editors and the publishers maybe wanting to utilize your skills to maybe let some of the new ones come in and hone them in certain aspects of what you do.
Yeah, the university has utilized me more than anything in going and talking to journalism classes and some of the high schools.
Mm-hmm.
The elementary schools, I've spoken in several of those. So, yes, the answer is yes, and which flatters me to no end. I'm just an uneducated country boy.
No, there's no such thing as that. But when you go into the classroom at MTSU and you look around and you see all those young people out there, what is the one thing that you want to hammer into them about writing?
Fairness, accuracy, listening. The writing is a gift that God gave you, the writing ability. That's a gift that you're probably born with.
Mm-hmm.
You can cultivate listening, fairness, and be a builder in your community, put back into your community when you have the opportunity, especially as a journalist.
Do you think that's done enough in the classroom?
Oh, no.
In journalism, is a lot of times I find that the young reporters, when they come in, they're kind of biased in some way in their thinking toward certain things. Instead of using their own eyes and mind and kind of make those decisions themselves.
The last 20 years, I had just about assumed to take a high school graduate and groom them as a journalist as I had a college graduate, because at the high school level, they don't think they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
At the college level, some of these professors who can't make a living out in the real world of journalism mm-hmm. were teaching them a big ego
mm-hmm.
that's not real. And yeah, I know what you're talking about there.
I think, do you feel like that I do, that a lot of that may have started from Watergate, where people started to become famous and hailed as heroes?
Yeah.
Over...
I think it did. Also, the Watergate era, along with the internet and the 24/7 now news cycles and everything,
mm-hmm.
we're a world that's screaming at one another now. We're hollering at one another. We're not listening at one another. We're screaming at one another, trying to get our viewpoint across. And that's not good community journalism.
That's why I don't read blogs or anything like mm-hmm. that, because when people start making determinations on how things are without any basic knowledge at all about mm-hmm. it and opinionating on anything that they feel like that they want to destroy, mm-hmm. you very seldom will see anybody bring mm-hmm. up anything that's positive. Then I think that when you get that kind of poison out, it doesn't reflect well on anyone. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's wish Jim Demas goodwill, good cheer,
yes.
and get well.
Yes, Jim. And I know that you will be back in the restaurant pretty soon. Can't wait to see you there, big guy. And we'll have the group together.
And wear clean underwear.
Yes. And I guess we'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And I know that Greg Tucker's going to be on, and you're going to have a great time with him. Have a great rest of the day.